last he came slowly towards her. She sat still on her stool. He stood before her under the porch. "You came then," he said, using the intonation of the dialect. "Yes," she replied, looking up at him. "You're late." "Aye," he replied, looking away into the wood. She rose slowly, drawing aside her stool. "Did you want to come in?" she asked. He looked down at her shrewdly. "Won't folks be thinking, some think, you come in here every night?" he said. "Why?" she looked up at him in a loss. "I said I'd come. Nobody knows." "They soon will, though," he replied. "And what then?" She was at a loss for an answer. "Why should they know?" "Folks always does," he said fatally. Her lips quivered a little. "Well, I can't help it," she faltered. "Nay, you can't help it by not coming, if you want to," he added in a lower tone. "But I don't want to," she murmured. He looked away into the wood and was silent. "But what when folks find out?" he asked at last. "Think about it. Think about how lowered you'll feel, one of your husband's servants." She looked up at his averted face. "Is it," she stammered, "is it that you don't want me?" "Think," he said. "Think what if folks find out? Sir Clifford and everybody talking. Well, I can go away." "Where to?" "Anywhere. I've got some money of my own. My mother left me £20,000 in trust, and I know Clifford can't touch it. I can go away. But happen you don't want to go away?" "Yes, yes, I don't care what happens to me." "Ah, you think that, but you'll care. You'll have to care. Everybody has. You've got to remember your ladyship is carrying on with a gamekeeper. It's not as if I was a gentleman. Yes, you'd care. You'd care." "I shouldn't. What do I care about my ladyship? I hate it, really. I feel people are jeering every time they say it. And they are. They are. Even you jeer when you say it." "Me?" For the first time, he looked straight at her and into her eyes. "I don't jeer at you." As he looked into her eyes, she saw his own eyes go quite dark, the pupils dilating. "Don't you care about the risk?" he asked in a husky voice. "You should care. Don't care when it's too late." There was a curious warning, pleading in his voice. "But I've nothing to lose," she said fretfully. "If you knew what it is, you'd think I'd be glad to lose it. But are you afraid for yourself?" "Aye," he said briefly. "I am. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of things." "What things?" she asked. He gave a curious backwards jerk of his head, indicating the other world. "Things. Everybody. The lot of them." Then he bent down and suddenly kissed her unhappy face. "Nay, I don't care. Let's have at it. Damn the rest. But if you was to feel sorry you'd ever done it..." "Don't put me off," she pleaded. He put his fingers to her cheek and kissed her again suddenly. "Let me come in then," he said softly, "and take off your Macintosh." He hung up his gun, slipped out of his wet leather jacket, and reached for the blankets. "I brought another blanket, so we can put one over us if we like." "I can't stay long," she said. "Dinner is 7:30. He looked at her swiftly and then at his watch. "All right," he said. He shut the door and lit a tiny light in the the hanging hurricane lamp. One time, we'll have a long time, he said. He put the blankets down carefully, one folded for her head. Then he sat down for a moment on the stool and drew her to him, holding her close with one arm, feeling for her body with his free hand. She heard the catch of his intake breath as he found her. Under her frail petticoat, she was naked. What it is to touch thee, he said. His fingers caressed the delicate, warm, secret skin of her waist and hips. He put his face down and rubbed his cheek against her belly and against her thighs again and again. And again she wondered a little over the sort of rapture it was to him. She did not understand the beauty he found in her through touch upon her living secret body, almost the ecstasy of beauty. For passion alone is to awake it. And when passion is dead or absent, then the magnificent throb of beauty is incomprehensible and even a little despicable. Warm, live beauty of contact, so much deeper than the beauty of vision. She felt the glide of his cheek on her thighs and belly and buttocks, and the close brushing of his mustache and his soft, thick hair, and her knees began to quiver. Far down in her, she felt a new stirring, a new nakedness emerging. And she was half afraid, half she wished he would not caress her so. He was encompassing her somehow, yet she was waiting, waiting. And when he came into her with an intensification of relief and consummation that was pure peace to him, she was still waiting. She felt herself a little left out. And she knew partly it was her own fault. She willed herself into this separateness. Now, perhaps, she was condemned to it. She lay still, feeling his motion within her, his deep sunk intentness, the sudden quiver of him at the springing of his seed, then slow subsiding thrust. That thrust of the buttocks, surely it was a little ridiculous. If you were a woman and a part in all the business, surely that thrusting of a man's buttocks was supremely ridiculous. Surely the man was intensely ridiculous in this posture and in this act. But she lay still without recoil. Even when he had finished, she did not rouse herself to get a grip on her own satisfaction as she had done with Michaelis. She lay still, and the tears slowly filled and ran from her eyes. He lay still too, but he held her close and tried to cover her poor naked legs with his legs to keep them warm. He lay on her with a close, undoubting warmth. Are you cold? He asked in a small, soft voice, as if she were close, so close. Whereas she was left out, distant. No, but I must go, she said gently. He sighed and held her closer, then relaxed to rest again. He had not guessed her tears. He thought she was there with him. I must go, she repeated. He lifted himself, kneeled beside her a moment, kissed the inner side of her thighs, then drew down her skirts, buttoning his own clothes, unthinking, not even turning aside in the faint light from the lantern.